All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Welcome to Barn Talk. What happens at the barn stays in the barn until now. We got away from that. I don't know why the hell we got away from that saying, but we did. We're back in the barn, so we're bringing it back. But that is our saying. And this episode of Barn Talk is tardy edition because we're a little late. We've been a little late to our episodes dropping. We haven't got into the studio in a while to be consistent, and we apologize for that. We've just been super busy, and at the end of the day, guys, we're farmers. We got stuff going on, and when planting comes around, we got a side dress, and we had the pork expo to go to. It gets busy, and so we gotta get that stuff done first. Above the content is always the farming, and it always will be that way, and that's just a reality. We do real shit. We don't just do this all the time, so bear with us there, but just know we're never gonna stop doing this. Like, I don't see us stopping this for a long, long time, because I seen people on TikTok and YouTube commenting, you know, are you guys done making podcasts? You haven't put one out in forever. And we appreciate that. Means we're doing something right if people miss the show, but we're not going to stop. So just get that through your guys' heads, because we're here to stay, and we love doing it. We love doing it
because we like to talk. You know, the goal has always been to shoot ahead and have episodes in the can ready to go. So if we have to take a week off or 2 weeks off or whatever it is. But inevitably what happens is we do that once in a while, but then we get busy and we don't get them out and we get them behind. But help is on its way. So yeah. We're finally getting to the point where we're going to get some help on the editing side, which is going to free us up to get to do more content, and that's going to help everything. That's going to help This'll Do. That's going to help Barn Talk. It's going to help everything.
It is. It is totally going to help, and it's hot up here. It's hotter than two rats fucking in a wool sock. Up here,
it's pretty hot,
and it's summer now. So
our roof's not done yet. Yeah, so I just talked to the Amish. They're hoping to be here the week after the 4th of July, so that will definitely help. Electricians any day, and if we can just get the roof insulated, we're going to throw some. If nothing else, we'll get a big swamp cooler in here. But our plan is to get some ductless, get some mini vents or whatever you call them, and get this thing to where it's cool and hot and all that.
But yeah,
till then, we're just going to shoot early or late, or today we're shooting in the middle of the day because we're like, damn it, we got to get it done because I got to get it edited. So we're just grinning and bearing it.
And the other thing I wanted to say, we try to give you guys a good mix so we don't, like, I don't want to come out with like 4 or 5 episodes of just us talking. We like to give you a guest. We try our best to mix it up best we can and not give you the same old stuff. But, I mean, you kind of have to do what you got to do sometimes. So,
yeah.
But we try our best to mix it up, and that might be another reason why we're not every single week, every time.
Right? Yeah.
Because we're trying to mix it up and get guests to make it interesting. But pay the fee, guys. You know the drill. If you're a longtime listener, you guys know the drill. Pay the fee if you get any value from the show, which is just share it out to your friends, family, coworkers. We're trying to grow this thing. We don't run ads on the show. We don't run ads to promote the show. It's all about word of mouth, and it's kind of the ticket to admission to watch or listen to the show. So if you get anything, share it, guys. That's all we ask. Leave a review on Spotify or Apple. We've seen all the reviews on Spotify and Apple, and it really does help us out a lot. We're up to 100 on Apple and 200 on Spotify, which is awesome.
Love it.
It's so cool to see. I love seeing that number go up, and like, we're not even a full year into this thing yet, and like, we got a lot of reviews.
So we do.
That's a testament to all you guys out there that pay the fee and are trying to help us grow this thing. So thanks to you guys.
We're thankful for every one of you.
Yeah. So anyway, we haven't done a market update in a long time. So we got to give you people out there a good old market update.
So I'm going to go through it quick and we can comment on some of these things when we get down later. But it's funny because there's some things that really haven't changed much. And there's a few things that have changed a lot since the last time we did one. So oil is $106 a barrel today, which is I'm kind of surprised at that because the last time I ran it, the last time I looked at it was like 102. And I really thought that it might be higher than that. I don't know how that equates to why our gas is so damn high, but that's probably a subject for a whole nother show. Corn's $8 locally. I think nearby month was up today, but I think everything out was down. So I don't know what it'll be when it closes. Soybeans $16.50 at local elevators, $16.90 at the river. I think you can get 17.25 if you want to go across, if you want to go to the Illinois side. Wheat, $9.77. Hogs are $111, which I think I say this every time. If you're feeding hogs $111, it ain't high enough for what your cost of ingredients are between corn and soybean meal. $111 is not enough. Cattle on $136.
You know that just from personal experience?
Yeah, so this is how old I am. Like, I remember buying bean meal when it was $140 a ton. And I don't have the bean meal number in front of me, but anybody that's buying meat bean meal knows that, like, that's almost laughable because bean meal is way higher than that.
And that was hard then when it was at $140.
Well, yeah, because hogs were a lot cheaper back then, too. But at the prices you are today, I mean, if you're paying $8 for corn, and I don't know if you're paying $400 or $500 a ton for bean meal. I guess I should have looked. I can't remember. But it just makes it pretty tight. And if you're a guy buying pigs, feeder pigs, wiener pigs, way high. So, and there aren't any to be had because I think production has been hit hard enough. Jim Long's hog report came out today and I didn't read it before I started. I was so in such a hurry. I was so giddy to get back on the air that I didn't read it, but I'll get that update next time. Tesla, $715. It has been beaten way down. It's got down as low as like 630 something, I think. I bought a little at 639. Not enough though.
Split's coming sometime. When's
it's 3-for-1 split. You have to be a shareholder of record by, I want to say, sometime in early August. And then I'm not sure what the date is on the split, but it'll be a 3-for-1.
I'm a sucker for the splits. I won't. Well, doesn't really do shit, but it just looks nice.
Well, and it does serve a purpose because
gets younger guys in.
It gets a lot of younger people in, and then for the Tesla and SpaceX employee plan, the way that works, the money that they take out of their checks, that goes in once a month. And when the share price gets over $1,000, it makes it really hard because I don't think the way that works, and somebody could correct me on this, I don't think that it'll buy, and maybe it buys incremental shares. I don't know, but I know it works a lot better when the share price is cheaper for them. There's a lot of things that are kind of hokey about the Tesla stock price, but in the long term, if your horizon's very long, it's dirt cheap. Bitcoin. So the last time I had it on a market report, Bitcoin was 42,000. And today it's 20,000. 20,200. And I love all the comments on like TikTok. TikTok brings out the more, how should I say it? The more pointed comments, I would say. You get more finessed comments on Instagram or the people that comment on YouTube.
But I think TikTok's a good place to know where people are, what people are thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're not afraid to say anything.
No, they say whatever they want. Yeah. So we get a lot of, or I've gotten a few comments, people, what do you think about Bitcoin now? And my answer every time is buy, buy, buy. To me, Bitcoin's a lot like Tesla. If you got a longer horizon, why not buy it when it's on sale?
This ain't financial advice.
It is not financial advice. Lord knows that. Don't do what I do. I threw gold and silver in there. Gold's $1,842, which is actually cheaper than when we did the market update last time. And I really thought gold would probably, with inflation and the way the stock market, I figured it'd be a lot higher. But it's not. Silver's $21. So it hasn't changed a whole lot either. So Ta-da!
Fire. People love the market update.
Well, it's good to know what's going on.
It is good to know what's going on. It's a good segment. No one else has it. I love it.
I know.
I like hearing what's going on.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I could be of service to you.
Yeah. So today we're going to kind of do a mix of subjects. You know, we're just going to kind of get back into the swing of things, talk about what's going on the farm, talk about what we don't like, what we like, stuff like that. So first of all, I guess, what do you want to get into, the good or the bad first?
It doesn't matter. It's all good, even if it's bad.
Well, let's first get into the movies, the Hollywood wokeness that's going on.
Well, first of all, let's just say I've been to two movies in the last, month. 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Which is more than I've been to in a long time. And I'm old, so the Top Gun movie really appealed to me because I was that prime age when Top Gun came out in 86, so I would have been a freshman, I think. 84, I can't remember if it's 84 or 86. I think it's 86. So I was a freshman in high school, and man, I'll tell you what, everybody wanted a pair of them Ray-Ban aviators and one of those leather jackets and a crotch rocket.
What about the mustache?
Well, I couldn't grow a mustache, so I mean, it would have just looked hokey anyway.
Hey, we forgot to mention, he looks like a new man.
I am clean shaven.
Yeah.
Yep. I took her off.
I don't know if that's ever happened on the show before.
Probably not. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I've pretty much.
You don't even look 50. I'm going to say it.
Well, that's good because I'm 51.
51.
So.
Yeah. You don't even look 51.
I don't know. And I guess I don't really know why I shaved it off other than I was in a hurry and I was shaving in the shower and I felt like I got a little too close on one side. And then to make it feel the same, I got too close on the other side. And then I was just like, ah, piss on it. I just shaved it off. And subliminally, it could be because it's turning white. The hair on my head's not turning white yet, but my beard's turning pretty white, so I just got rid of it. And, I mean, while we're on that subject, I'm also a little bit slimmer because my wife, I'm not eating pasta 4 days a week like I was. We're eating healthier, and it's made a big difference. Plus, we're working a lot. Man, we have got a lot of stuff going. Between selling hogs and trying to get this place cleaned up and working on this barn and all the other projects, working on the shop, working on rental properties.
And especially once it's hot.
Oh, yeah. And it's been
sweat like
blazing
crazy.
Hot.
We try to get up and get the work done early because it's nice and cool. Well, it ain't really even cool, but it's cooler than when it's midday. So we sorted pigs early this morning, and we got to load pigs tomorrow morning. Then we got to load pigs
Sunday night.
So
we got way off there.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Go back to Top Gun. Sorry,
so anyway,
we had to say it.
Yeah. So Top Gun, loved that movie. Thought it was great. New Top Gun movie. It's been, you know, going to come out. And it finally did. And I'll say it was excellent. I mean, I thought it was excellent. I thought it was one of the best movies. I think it'll be one of the best movies of the year. It'll definitely be one of the highest grossing movies of the year. But before we went to see it, my wife's like, we should watch the old one. And I'm like, okay, let's watch the old one. And, you know, I don't think I've seen it in 10 years probably. And, you know, you have fond memories of your childhood. And I remember just thinking, oh, Top Gun, action-packed. There's hardly any action. And there's some of the most awkward mouth-kissing scenes with the perfect backlight on Tom Cruise and what's her name? The lady they didn't ask to be in the sequel. I was like, wow, that's like too much. That's kind of creepy. Anyway, it was fine, but the new one's way better than the old one.
You loved it, but you thought of one thing. What did you think that was a little off, that was kind of a little bit, not necessarily woke, but just kind of like, what? That wouldn't happen in real life.
And my wife kind of brought this up because I didn't think of it offhand, but if you watch the original, I think a lot of emphasis was made that the guys that were in the Top Gun program, they were all arrogant pricks, which that's what you would expect them to be because they're the best of the best of the best, and you got to have an ego, you know, like none other to be that person, and they played that really well. Well, in the new one, I mean, there's like a guy in there he's literally like a computer geek. I mean, he's a real timid guy with glasses, and a couple of the characters are just, they're not hardcore, arrogant whatever, you know, they're like the people that you want to root for because they're kind of the underdog. And I was like, those people would not be, they're not going to be the top guns, because you have to be, you kind of got to be, what do you call that? A narcissist. You pretty much got to be a narcissist to be that. I mean, it's just what it is. And I thought that was a little bit woke. And you know what? If it wasn't for everything going on in our culture, I might not have thought that. But because you see it every day, you think, oh yeah, that's kind of. But really, not enough to take anything away from it. I mean,
what do you rate it out of five?
Oh, I'd rate it 4.75 stars, just because I guess I don't know if I could find something better or not. I mean, I'd go see it again, and there's damn few movies that I would go see it again.
You know, I haven't even seen it yet.
I know, you're worthless.
I know, I can't.
He's a hermit.
I want to go see it really bad, I do, but man, I've just been busy, and just I haven't gone and seen it yet, but I need to go see it. I was really hoping to be like on HBO Max or something. I can watch it there.
I don't think, I think they're going to milk every dollar out of the theaters. Yeah, they're going to milk
it out. And it is what it is. I'll go see it eventually. I know.
The other,
it's good. I've heard all great things. I want to go to this one because I did go to a movie in our local town with the whole fam, and I thought it was going to be Top Gun again, but they changed the movie so quick, which I don't know why, to Jurassic Park, the new Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, whatever. And let me
just, how was that for you?
Let me just say this. They couldn't have made a worse ending to a great series, because I loved Jurassic Park and I loved Jurassic World. I loved the new movies. They were pretty good, and it was a good series of movies. But man, this last one, they absolutely butchered it. And the amount of wokeness, the amount of shots towards agriculture was baffling. It was absolutely baffling to me. There's a scene in there. So if you don't know, they let all these dinosaurs out of the Jurassic World Park, and they're free. They're all over.
They're going everywhere.
They're all over the world, and people are trying to live with the dinosaurs. And then obviously there's people that are trying to research and breed them,
poach.
And do all the and poach them and breed them and do all this stuff because, you know, they're dinosaurs. And they go to this cattle ranch in Kansas
in the middle of night.
In the middle of the night. And they show up in a van, and they walk in, and there's these dinosaurs that look pretty similar to, like, a pig.
A veal calf.
Yeah. Well, they look like a pig.
Oh, yeah, they kind of did look like a pig.
And this is so stupid, because it says it's on a cattle ranch, but you walk into the facility, and they have, like, a pig-looking dinosaur
in a tiny sow crate.
In a sow crate. And it's in dark, and the dinosaur's moaning, and they got their video camera. It looked like they were trying to be PETA for the dinosaurs. And they took a dinosaur, and they got it out of the... That really pissed me off. And then they had the scene, out, and the farmers were chasing after them with shotguns, making us look like shit.
Yeah.
And I about left there. And then there was another... smart remark that industrial agriculture was causing all the problems going on in that world, and that it was all the farmers' fault, and we're the only ones that caused global warming. It was pretty much what it was saying in the movie. And I was at the point where I was like, if they say one more thing, I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm leaving. I'm going to shit on this thing, which I'm shitting on it right now, because it's bullshit. It was woke as hell.
Well,
it was terrible. So, I'd give it a one.
Yeah.
I'd give it a 0.5. It was terrible.
So I had the privilege of sitting next to Sawyer in the theater, and as soon as their van pulls up to the outside of this, and so there's a 10-foot-high barbed wire fence all the way around this property, and I see the cattle ranch sign, and I just look at Sawyer, and I'm just watching. I'm not even watching the movie. I'm watching his facial expression, because I know what's coming. And then when that all went down and they left, and the ranchers are chasing them in four-wheel drive trucks, you know, and shooting at them. Yeah. He looks at me and he's like, I'm out of here. And I was like, yeah, I knew that would get you fired up.
I was pissed.
But even if you forego all that, like if you didn't even notice that.
Which most people probably didn't, because they're not farmers, but right. It pissed me off.
But the incredible shrinking and growing size of the dinosaurs, the special effects were terrible in it. Like in one scene, a whatever dinosaur you want to pick is going to be like, I don't know, it's 10 times bigger than the car they're in. And then you go around the curve the next time and it's only 5 times bigger. And then, you know, in one frame you can feed a dinosaur out of your hand, and the next scene, like, it's the dinosaur's head is as big as a car. I mean, it's just, there's no consistency, yeah, and the plot was terrible.
The writing was terrible.
It was bad.
It was horrible. And you can't tell me that you can outrun a raptor dinosaur that is going probably, how fast do those things look like they can run?
Depends on how important you are to the plot line.
Oh my God, you're not outrunning a dinosaur that's a raptor. It's not happening. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're not doing it. And it's terrible.
It was not done very well. Do not
go see it. Do not go see it. If you like Jurassic Park or Jurassic World and you don't want to be, don't ruin it for, if you don't want that to be ruined for you, don't go see it.
And I would just say,
and if you're a farmer, don't go see it because it will piss you off and it promotes ag in a bad light. And I hated that part of it. That pissed me off a lot.
And I think that it was pretty obvious that Chris Pratt must have had a 3-picture deal.
Yeah.
Because if he would have had any choice, I don't think he would have been in it.
I was like, come on, Chris.
You can do better than that.
This is the most woke left shit I've ever watched in my life for Hollywood, and you're in this, and you're supposedly a Republican, a conservative, or middle in the road, at least.
Yeah.
Anyway, I get real sick.
Is there any other?
Well, Lightyear, I didn't go see that, but that completely bombed, and it's because Disney is trying to indoctrinate all of our kids with all this woke shit, and people are sick of it, I think.
Yeah, I think they
are. Pixar and Disney are messing up, and they need to just stay out of it, and people are going to stop throwing, they're going to start throwing Disney out of their household. They're going to start throwing Pixar out of their household because they're sick and tired of it and they're not going to allow it. So
I think it all kind of goes, and we've got some other things we're going to talk about, but people are just kind of, I think you said it really well today when we were eating lunch. I think that COVID, the whole COVID reaction, they overplayed their hand with people everywhere. And now people are so, like, they're just sick of it. They're just pretty much sick of all of the false outrage and the false
political correctness. They're sick and tired of
everything's going to kill you. You should be afraid of everything. You should be afraid of each other. You shouldn't talk to anybody no opinion that you have is a safe opinion because you're going to offend somebody. And it's gone so far now, and Disney is 100% on board with that, when all they needed to do was stick with the formula they had, which was create family fun that people can just get together and enjoy and not think about real life for 2 hours when they watched a movie. But they couldn't stay out of that, and they had to inject all of this crap. I mean, I don't want to go to, I go to a movie or I watch a movie to escape from reality. And when you just bring more of the reality that I don't want to think about into the theater or into my home or into my theme park or my vacation.
Show to my kids.
I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's where a lot of people are. And it shows, the opening for Lightyear was terrible, and I don't think it's going to get any better.
Yeah, and that's sad because when I grew up, I loved Toy Story. That was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. Toy Story was awesome.
Yep.
Loved Buzz Lightyear. It sucks. Yep. They're just going to trash it. Hopefully they don't do it to Monsters, Inc. Just don't even recreate it. I don't even want you to recreate it or do a second one or third one, whatever. Don't even do it. So, yeah, that's our take on Hollywood's wokeness, and they need to probably nip it in the bud. Or at least Pixar and Disney needs to get their shit figured out. Or there's a huge opportunity for somebody else to come up and go back to the old roots of just exactly what you said. That's a good point. People don't want to sit in the movie theater and have your views put onto us. We want to just chill, be entertained.
Exactly.
Love that. All right. Also in the headlines, and you've all seen it, you've seen the memes, you've seen...
I saw the best meme today.
You saw the best meme. He did send it to the group chat. Biden can't even ride a freaking bike or get off a bike.
He just fell off.
He just fell off his bike. And his shoe did get stuck in the pedal. He did get stuck there, but... Whoever, their PR team better figure something out. I mean, the guy can't finish sentences, let alone go on a bike ride and be publicized in that way. Like, I wouldn't even, why would risk it? Why are you even risking that?
Well, he was fine.
He's getting lost just walking. You're giving him a bike to get on. You better have a tracker on him.
I think the idea was that he was going to look youthful riding it. And he did just fine. What you don't see in that is just before that happened, one of the Secret Service guys gave him a piece of gum. So he was riding fine, but then he had to chew and ride. And once he put that stick of gum in, then...
Multitasking.
Yeah, then it just all fell apart. But yeah, whoever put...
That's why in his speeches he's messing up, because somebody's talking into his ear while he's trying to talk his sentence, telling him what to say, and then all of a sudden... He messes up.
It could just be the voices in his head.
I'm just kidding. That was a joke. People don't get offended. That was just kind of funny.
I don't know. But somebody probably should be fired because I believe it's elder abuse.
Okay, tell him the meme.
Oh, yeah. Well, so our family watched Napoleon Dynamite probably
100 times.
Yeah, because my nieces, when they were in their early teens, that movie came out and I don't know how many times we watched that movie, but there's a great scene in there where Uncle Rico, he grabs a steak off of it. Is it off Napoleon's plate?
Yeah.
And he chucks it, and somebody dubbed that in, and the steak hits Biden, and he falls off his bike, and that's the kind of good, clean fun I like, yeah. So I really enjoyed that.
That movie's so dumb, but it's so great.
It is. That's like a cult. Well, it's just so much.
That's American culture right there. I don't know why, but everyone loves that movie.
It's an icon for that generation.
Yeah, I don't know what you do. I mean, can you get any worse than this? I mean, Biden's probably going to go down as one of the worst presidents ever at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what's a good argument you could have for him to be. I mean, you look at all the presidents of the United States.
Like, I don't know.
I heard a really good point. You know, in these dark times, you know, of what we're in right now in America, at least Obama could get up on a stage and say he could make Americans feel better about the situation with his speaking ability.
Yeah, he was a good...
He would calm everyone's nerves down a little bit.
Yeah.
Biden can't even do that.
No.
It's just chaos all the time. People are panicking and no one's there to say, hey, we're going to figure this out. And if he does, you don't take his word for it.
I think the big winner of politics of late is, for my generation anyway, is Jimmy Carter. I think Jimmy's stock's gone way up because we had Obama and then now we got Biden. And if we end up with a president worse than the one that we have from either side, it might be time to sell all the land and go to Bolivia.
Don't ever say that. I ain't ever doing that. I'll die. I'll die trying to keep it.
Well, that's
good. I don't care. You can use this in the future if America ever goes commie and they can go for us and target our farm because they're going to have to kill us, but... It's the truth. I'm not selling shit. So I'm gonna fight.
And thank goodness,
I'm gonna fight my ass off for that to never happen.
And thank goodness we live in the state we do, because I feel like we haven't had to endure near as much as you have on if you go east or west. I mean, it's
a
mess. There's no doubt about it.
Come on, baby. I want DeSantis to run. I think he knows if he runs, he's gonna win. And I think midterms. I mean, I don't even think it's close.
So there's a story, you can already see, it's already starting. There was a story this morning, and it was on CNN, MSNBC, I want to say there was a story in the New York Times about it too, and basically the narrative is that you should not grade your political leaders when it comes election time on the price of gasoline. They were making the case that it's not your politician's fault that your gas price is so high, and that you need to keep that in mind when you go to the polling booth this fall, you know, and not throw the baby out with the bathwater, that, you know, stay the course. And I don't think that's true. I think people are so tired. If the election we have this fall isn't a pretty serious turnover of the status quo, I think we should all be worried, because I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people that I would say are
middle of the road.
Well, I know a lot of people that I would say are fairly liberal that are just, they just had it. And you got to go back. I think you got to go back and realize there are an awful lot of people that before this presidential election, when there was the primaries and they were deciding who was going to run against Donald Trump, a good chunk of the Democratic Party, one of the phrases I heard so many times was, we do not need another old white guy.
Yeah, and Biden was supposed to be the calm one.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be
the uniter.
The uniter. He's not going to do too much in office. He's not going to disrupt a bunch of stuff. He's going to be chill. He's gonna coast. We're going to coast for 4 years and not do any crazy shit. Boy, were you all wrong on that one.
And so I feel like there's a lot of those people that, one, they didn't get what they wanted because you ended up with the oldest, whitest white guy that you could get. And he hasn't performed well. And the other thing you got to say is, if you're a really liberal person, really, what have they done for you other than executive order? Because you've had the Congress, you've had both houses of the Congress, and all they've done is really bitched each other the whole time. I mean, they really haven't gotten anything done, which if you're sitting on my side, that's a good thing because he's done enough by executive order. It could be a lot worse than what it is. And let me say this. Joe Manchin's on my list of best people ever, because if it wasn't for Joe Manchin, if you think inflation's bad now, if they would have passed that Green New Deal, and the only person that stopped that from going was Joe Manchin. He was the guy with his hand in the frickin' dike on that deal. And if he wouldn't have done that, it'd be a lot worse than what it is. So kudos to you, Joe, because at least, and I'll say that, Republican, he was more outspoken than any Republican on that deal. And that's sad. To me, that's really sad. But it's pretty bad when you get down to, you got one guy, seriously, you got one guy out of all them people that have any common sense that looked at that bill and went, I'm not voting for spending a bunch of more money after we already spent all this money that we didn't get anything for and that was driving up, you know, everything, driving up inflation and driving up the debt and all that. So anyway, kudos to him. But I don't know. I feel like these midterms are going to be, it's going to be brutal. If it's not, I'd be worried.
It needs to be an ass whooping.
It does need to be an ass whooping.
When presidential election comes, it needs to be an ass whooping too.
Yeah, I
mean, the only Democrat that I believe would have a chance and that I don't hate is Tulsi Gabbard.
But they will not give her a chance on the Democratic side.
Because she's too in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
They either want socialist or nothing. They want extreme left woke shit or get out.
If you don't represent the far left, you're not going to get a chance.
If you're not what the old Democrats were, if you are what the old Democrats stood for, we don't want you.
Well, if you're what the old Democrats stood for, you're a Republican then.
I mean, I'm talking...
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Like Grandpa and like how old Democrats were.
Yeah.
I mean, for you old Democrats, yes, they were Republican. But for me...
Yeah, right.
I was around when Democrats weren't the Republican Party.
Right.
They were, you know, middle of the road a little bit.
Right.
Mom always says that Republicans and Democrats, they wanted to achieve the same things, but just wanted to do it in a different way. And that's how it used to be. And now... It ain't even close to that.
No, it's gotten ugly. You know, it's just gotten to the point that, you know, I don't know what else you can say about it other than it's nobody wants to work together, and they want to spend more time trying to sabotage each other than working together. But the other part of it is, and we talk about this so many times, but would you want to run for office? Would you want to be a politician? I mean, pretty much the only people that want to be...
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We don't have...
Good candidates.
We don't have regular Americans. We don't have working Americans that know what Americans go through every day running for office.
That's right.
We have career politicians that are getting greased and know they're going to get greased when they get in office, and that's their sole purpose of being in office is so they can make money.
Mm-hmm.
And continue to be powerful and make huge decisions for this country, but they have never experienced everyday life of an American out there. They don't experience that. And
you're right.
Yeah.
Well, it's like it used to be you had to be successful in regular life to be able to afford to serve your country as a politician because they didn't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the way, somebody thought it would be a good idea to pay them. And then we let them vote on giving themselves pay raises. And it just spirals out of control.
If you want to change, if you want to get America back to what it used to be, to being amazing, free for the people, you have got to stop the greasing of all these congressmen and politicians and presidents, and it's got to stop. You got to stop it. But how do you stop it?
I don't know.
Because they need funding for their campaigns. You know, they need funding for their campaigns. They need funding to be elected. And that money doesn't just, they don't all have that money
right.
to run. Right. But hey, here's 50 mil, here's 10 mil, vote. When I need you, I'll give you a call.
There is limits. There is campaign finance reform that limits how much money a politician can take from any one entity. The problem with it is there's way too many ways to funnel money to politicians and funnel money to nonprofit groups that really, they're nonprofit, but they're sole reason for existence is to sponsor candidates. That's all they do. Mm-hmm. And they're funneling money from big, whoever, whether it be the trial lawyers or whether it's corporate interests or big pharma or who you name it, they're funneling large sums of money to the candidates that are in their pocket. And that's got to be stopped. And I don't know how you do that, but
either. But that's it. I mean, I heard a good thing that a good quote or a good saying or a good video. I can't remember what it was, but
all the above.
Politicians should wear the NASCAR suit so we know who's sponsoring them.
Right.
So yep. I know why you're saying what you're saying.
Yep. That's 100%.
And if they did that, we'd know real easy. Okay. They're saying that for this reason.
Yep.
I know you're getting greased by them, but they ain't ever going to do that. But I thought that was pretty funny. Anyway, we don't have all the answers, but this is our opinion on, we're pretty middle of the road, folks. We're regular Americans going through this crazy shit that we're all going through. And people are not dropping the sky isn't falling yet. And they're not shouting, we're in a recession from the rooftops just yet. But I mean, geez, we're in the recession at this point. We are. We're at the top of it right now. And they'll come out and say it is a recession later. But I think they're saving that till midterms. They won't want to drop that term until a little bit later, but I mean, we are, and it's going to be hard for a little bit, but just got to keep grinding. And what do you always say in a recession, Dad? Or what have you heard when people say in a recession, when there's blood in the streets,
that's the time to be buying.
When everyone's selling, that's when you need to be buying. When everyone's buying, that's when you need to be selling.
When everybody's scared.
So when there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of people that cower down. And if you got the funds, you got an opportunity, you got something to be able to pick up that opportunity, gain that opportunity, and go hard during those times when everyone else is kind of letting off the gas pedal, you can leap bounds,
I mean, Ron Barron, if some of you may know who Ron Barron is, some of you may not, but he's an investor. He started in the 80s. So Ron Barron launched his investment house in, I think, 1982. So right in the bottom of stock market. I think the stock market was 870. It had been at 1,000. It got down to 870. And that was when he started. And he called into CNBC the other morning. And I just saw it on a YouTube video, but he basically said that, and he wasn't speaking specifically of Tesla, but he is a big investor in Tesla. He also is a huge investor in SpaceX, which is private, but he has private money in that. That Tesla was 636, right around there. And he said it might be the greatest opportunity to his kids, to his two sons that work with him now, and they've kind of taken over the business. He said it might be the greatest opportunity they've ever seen, because the stocks that are beaten down so hard, even at this point, in the long term, if your horizon is longer than the next, 2 years, you can't walk away from the fundamentals of how profitable some of these companies are and how good their business plan is. And just because everybody's freaking out and everybody's scared and everybody's worried about inflation and worried about government and worried about, you name it, Ukraine, China, Taiwan, whatever it is, it doesn't change the fact that if there is a good business out there that has a good business plan and has price protection, as far as the cost of their goods go up, their raw materials, they can increase prices, such as Tesla, it's still a good investment. And the rest of the world will come around to that fact, and one day they'll all wake up and go, oh, damn, that's pretty good, and then the price will come back. And so much, we talk about this on here a lot, but so much of the world runs on nothing but bad news, because if you look at any company that's traded, and I always use Tesla because it generates the most news on any given day, there'll be 8 stories about Tesla. 9 of them probably are about nothing, because somebody will just find a way to run a headline, because if it's got Tesla in it, somebody will read it. And it's all about ratings. It's all about getting your name out there, all that. But bad news sells way better than good. And like right now, you can go down the list. If you put that ticker symbol in your phone and you look at news, about every one of them stories is bad. It's all about fear, uncertainty, and doubt. FUD, that's what they call it. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And that's all they want to run on. And the truth is, the fundamentals of a lot of these companies that are good, the fundamentals haven't changed. Yeah, they've got pressure, but...
Yeah, well... I've heard this from so many older entrepreneurs that I've listened to. They say, the economy and being a business owner has been so easy and so good for so long. People have no idea how it actually is when times get hard. Like that's when you're really good at business. And Andy Frisella, somebody I listen to a lot, he always says that, like I was saying, so many people they're so fearful, they take their foot off the gas pedal, and that's the time he's going harder than everyone else, because he knows everybody else in his industry, in his business world, is running scared, and he gets more aggressive with his marketing, more aggressive with how he treats his customers, more aggressive with his spending, because, and you know, obviously you can, if you don't have the funds, you can't do, you know, I know, but you kind of get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When everyone's getting scared, that's a real, opportunity for you to seize all that business, all that potential business, seize those properties that are undervalued and go on for pennies on the dollar, seize those stocks that are pennies on the dollar and the cheapest they'll ever be, seize that Bitcoin because it's cheaper than it has been in a long time, you know? So I feel like most people are scared and most people are fearful, but right now when it's in a recession, they push it even harder,
right?
And people get more scared, and there's more opportunity. There's really more opportunity out there.
And you know, this is the way you got to look at it, is there's people that will say to that, well, you know, what if it all collapses? Like what if the whole economy collapses? Well, If you go down to that scenario, if you go to worst case scenario that the world quits functioning the way it is and the economy completely collapses down to the point that you're glad that you bought those 5 extra cans of Bush's baked beans because, you know, the transport, it's shit hits the fan. Well, if that happens, the money that I got invested in my business and in stocks and all that, it really ain't going to matter. So everything barring that money, if my horizon is long enough that I don't have to have that, or it's of no value, because if shit hits the fan, all that's of no value. So it really is pointless to even worry.
We're all fucked no matter what. So if it happens, we're all screwed. But you're saying that shouldn't, you shouldn't look at it that way,
right?
Because that's a rarity. That, I mean, that hasn't really happened ever, right, where the whole world just stops and it's just a shithole.
Well, everything. It has happened, but not in this civilization we're in now.
Right. But, and I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but on the opposite of that, if you do invest, it's probably more likely that that's going to come back up, because it always does come back up. Whether you're talking real estate market, economy, stock market, it all goes back up eventually.
Yeah.
So that's probably a more likely outcome than everything getting destroyed.
If you can pay your bills like you've been paying them, and the bills, I know bills are getting higher because I fill up my great time to buy a Jeep that gets 14 miles a gallon. So I was thinking really ahead on that, but it doesn't matter. The opportunity's there, and if your time horizon's long enough that you don't need that money like right now, why wouldn't you invest?
I don't care what anyone says, despite the inflation or not. In a recession, cash is king. Cash is king in a recession. It just is.
Yeah.
And it's hard when you're out there just starting. Like, I feel like the wealthiest people in the world, they have investments in the stock market. They have real estate investments. They have their businesses. And then they have cash on hand. And it's real easy for them to just store cash for these situations.
Yeah.
And it's harder for us, you know, smaller guys that, well, we don't want to have all our money in cash, so we're trying to put it in investment and get ahead in life. You don't probably have a lot of cash on the sidelines. But, it's nice to have cash in a recession when times are hard. Because you can really... It's like I said, you can seize those opportunities. I mean, you always have a great story. You have a great story from your former boss.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to say his name.
Yeah.
Bought two vacation homes in Arizona for pennies on the dollar during 2008.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's just smart. He had cash on hand, was able to do it, and now he's got a vacation home for life.
So this is a pretty good story. We were riding, we were going down to Missouri to sell some sheds. We were trying to sell some sheds, and he was on the phone, and he was on the phone with this guy, and he was dickering with him on Marriott reward points, because I don't need to get into the whole thing, but Marriott had a program where you had to buy in, and for so many points you got a free night at, you know, this hotel, and if you wanted to stay at one of these 5-star resorts or whatever, it was this many points, and it was good, you know, for out of a year, you had so many nights, and the more points you had, the more nights you had. And I don't know exactly what you paid for annually and how much of it is once you had the points, you kept them. But this guy he found this guy, and he was going through a divorce, and he lost his job, and he had a pretty good chunk of these Marriott points, and he was trying to sell them and negotiating with him as to what he's going to pay him, pennies on the dollar, for what they're worth. And they went back and forth, but at the end of the day, the guy needed the money, and he didn't have anybody else calling him for him, or apparently nobody was bidding as well as Claude. You know, maybe he thought he was getting a good deal. It didn't sound like that he did, but at the end of the day, he ended up buying them, and he bought them for about maybe a fifth to a quarter of what retail value was. And he said to me, he goes, it's always a good idea to keep your powder dry, because you never know when an opportunity might come that you might need it. And he's like, I don't really need, this is a want, not a need, but the opportunity's there and the price is right. So I'm going to buy him, because he had, you know, he's got grandkids and his kids, and you can always use them. But people and that's something that's hard to learn, because for me, I struggle with that, because inflation is eating at your cash.
It's so hard when you're at this level. It's so hard to say stash your cash and not listen to all that news about inflation when you know what's happening.
So that's where, on the one hand, if you're looking to buy, let's just say, I'll use air quotes, if you're looking to buy retail and you're holding cash, you're going to get hurt, because that retail is going to go up. In other words, the value of your cash, the value of your dollar, gets hurt during times of inflation and recession. However, if you have that cash and it gets to the point that you're buying something that is distressed or you're buying something from someone that is distressed, that's probably the key to it. So there's what it's worth and then there's what you can get out of it. And if you get into times of recession and you have cash, yes, if you're buying retail, it doesn't buy what it used to. But if you're buying a distressed asset from someone that is distressed and they don't have channels to sell it at retail price, or they have
they
a time.
Want to.
Yeah, or they don't want to, but they have to fill in the blank why, and time is not on their side. They can't wait for somebody to get financing. And let's face it, banks get nervous for whatever it is. So if you're someone and you have cash in times of stress and you find a distressed asset or someone that's distressed, that's where having that cash is very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a balance of how much cash do you keep and can you, you know,
right.
Can you keep it?
Yeah.
And, you know, not everybody can do that. And I certainly don't.
And I can't, you know, I say the same thing. I can't really, you know, I don't have that luxury either because we're trying to do so many things and, you know, I'm not the highest earner in the world. So
right.
It's not the easiest thing to do. But yeah. And the other things that I've heard from people, and it's not just big time recession when have cash for recession, but also if you are a guy, if people know that you have money in your industry and what you do,
capital available,
they know, they look at you as a capital source.
Right.
And obviously I'm not saying partner with people that you don't trust, or you got to have deep rooted trust with this person knowing they're not going to fuck you over or, you know, anything like that. But man, having that cash on hand when you got people that want an investment on a thing that's going to, they're going to flip and it's going to make a return and you don't have to do anything besides just give them cash. That's real nice. And there's a lot of guys that are wealthy that do that as well. They just sit on the sidelines, give up some cash and then just get paid to do nothing besides provide the cash.
Right.
And so that's also a really, so if I ever get to the point, if any of you listening get to the point where you are making a good amount of money and you're like, stash some of that cash away. Just stash a little bit.
Yep, never hurts.
But I know what it's like when you don't have a ton. So
we kind of went off there.
Yeah, we did. But
that's
hey,
okay. It was good.
It's all trending topics flowing around.
Yeah.
What's going on in the world right now. So I think it was real good.
Well, one of the reasons that we're a little bit tardy is because we've been goofing off. Last 2 weeks ago, we were at the World Pork Expo in Des Moines. And I just wanted to say that... That was a really good, I thought it was a great show.
Mm-hmm.
And the mood of people there was a lot better than it was a year ago. Kind of goes with our theme that people are just tired of all the fear and uncertainty and doubt and all that. People were in good moods.
Met a lot of fans of the show, fans of This Will Do Farm, our YouTube channel. And it was awesome to meet people. It was really fun and encouraging. It lit a fire in me again. I mean, I had a fire brewing, but, you know, just threw some wood on that fire a little bit because people, it's just nice to hear people supporting what you're doing and getting to meet people that, you know, listen to what we talk about and stuff. So any of you that we saw at Pork Expo, we appreciate you guys coming up. We're not going to bite. If you ever see us in public, say hi. We would love to talk to you, and we appreciate all your guys' support a lot. So that was awesome.
And thanks to the Barn Tools people, because they let us sit up in their booth, and they were great. And we went to their employee dinner and got to talk to just about everybody that works for them, and that was a real good time. We got a few things going. We're going to be at NPIC here in a few weeks. So any of you that are heading...
Explain what that is.
So NPIC is a National Pork Industry Council, and they put a thing on every year. It used to be in the Ozarks. For years and years and years, it was at Tantara in the Ozarks. And then they moved it to Wisconsin Dells. They have it at the Kalahari in Wisconsin Dells. And then last year, I think they moved it back to the Ozarks, and I think that might have been a COVID deal. Maybe it was the Kalahari they weren't ready to go back, lift their restrictions. But anyway, it's back at the Kalahari this year. And they always have really some excellent speakers about not only the swine industry, but just, you know, world politics, United States politics, the economy,
ag
commodities, all that. And we're actually going to be there on the big stage. We're going to be part of a group. I think the presentation is going to be Can You Hear Me Now? And it's us and it's Matt Rota, who is a friend of the show, and he's actually been on the podcast. Aaron Brenneman, which she is daughter-in-law of Rob and Char Brenneman that own Brenneman Pork, which is a pretty good-sized operation actually here in Washington County. And I can't remember. There's going to be another couple on it, I think. Is that right?
I
can't remember their name, and I'm so sorry. I can barely remember my name part of the time. But anyway, and it's just going to be kind of a Q&A about
advocacy.
Yeah, and sharing your story and representing your industry and, you know, dispelling all the
misconceptions out there.
Yep. And then I'm going to be debuting my first public speaking. Not really. I'm just yakking a little bit before the barbecue at the Iowa State University
Swine Day,
which is the 30th of June. So I'm going to that, and that should be a good time.
Yeah. So we're gonna try our best to keep consistent with these podcasts, guys. Bear with us. We're getting the work done. We got some speaking stuff we got to go to, but after that, I think it's gonna be pretty chill. And we're gonna be pretty consistent. We're getting some more guests on. We're going to shoot one tomorrow with a guest, and that one will be out next week. And then we're just going to try to get more and more guests on and keep doing Q&As and just keep putting out great content. You guys love it. We love posting the clips on TikTok, and it's a good time.
We keep getting a little bit better. We keep learning some things, and our organization's getting a little better. And it's hard, though. One thing that I realize when I talk to people, I'm going to be on Gary Bontrager. I don't know if anybody knows Gary Bontrager or not. A lot of you might. Anyway, he does a podcast, and I'm going to be on his podcast next Tuesday, I think. But as we talk to people that are kind of doing what we're doing, we get a little overwhelmed because we kind of do it all by ourselves, and it kind of just happened that way because we didn't know what we needed. And as we needed stuff, we were like, we can do that. And now some days it's kind of like the frog in the pot of water that you just keep turning the heat up on. But we're figuring it out, and it's fun. On the one hand, it'd be nice if we had more help. But on the other hand, I'm so thankful that we've learned everything that we've learned instead of having the luxury of just showing up somewhere and having somebody shoot it. And we don't know how any of it works.
Yeah, I think it's people. That's more business advice, but people always say, "Do all the tasks first, then hire it out because you know how it needs to be done."
Right.
So it's good that we're doing it this way, 100%.
And yep.
We love doing it. It's just a lot, guys. It's a lot sometimes, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's so
I
fun,
wouldn't either.
And we love every single one of you guys that listens or watches. It's awesome to see, and we want to just keep it rolling, keep telling stories and, you know, telling people stories for them and telling people our thoughts on things. So if you got any value from the show, pay the fee, guys. Share it with your friends, family, coworkers. You know the drill. Leave us a review, and we'll see you back here next week for another episode.